I think about it like this. How many of you remember the show Cheers? A couple of you. What happened every day, everybody is sitting there, and all of a sudden one person would walk in the door, and what would happen? Cliff! Or Norm. Sometimes you wanna be where everybody knows your name. That's all I'm gonna sing because I'm not sure that's the appropriate song for in church, but that's the thing. We want to belong, and when we have this sense of belonging, everybody knows it. And we should live life so that people around us, they know. You see, we're not a physical nation. In the Old Testament, where this quote comes from the Old Testament, and the people then were a physical nation. God chose them. He brought them out of Egypt. He gave them a land. He gave them a set of laws, the theocracy that they lived under. Then they got the king, and they knew where the promised land was, and they lived in that land, and they were taken into captivity. Then they returned to that land. But this prophecy, this passage of Scripture that this comes from is actually a prophecy. And while it refers back to the people of Israel, it also points forward to this time when we are chosen as those who are close to God, those who are the people of God. Again. And we are not a physical nation, but we are the people of God. And so you find the church, you find the kingdom of God here this morning. We are one little section of where the rule of God is at work in this world. And you can go across town this morning, and there are other churches who are worshiping together this morning. And you can go west of here, and a few hours from now, some more churches will be worshiping. You go east of here, and some of them are getting done. And I can talk to my sister this morning. I could talk to my sister this morning who's in Austria, and they've already worshiped today, and they are celebrating other things now on this great Lord's Day. But here's the thing. We all worship together because we are the body of Christ, and we are a people. Though we are not physically a people, spiritually, we are the people of God. And here's the thing. If we understand these two things, if we understand that once we were without mercy and deserving of wrath, but now we have the mercy of God, and we once were not a people, but now we are the people of God, we could not keep silent. I think we have a wrong understanding of these two things. But when we understand them, we cannot keep quiet. So this is why we do what we do. This is why we become the priests and the holy nation. This is why we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Peter answers one more question. And maybe this is the most important question of them all. How? How are we supposed to do this? How is it that we get to the place where we can be the priests and the holy nation living around us? How is it that we can get to the place where people want what it is that we have? And Peter says this. He says, live as strangers and aliens. Live as strangers and aliens. You see, all too often, we don't want to live as strangers and aliens. We want to live as imitators of the world. We don't want to live as strangers and aliens. We don't want to live differently. We want to live the same. No, there is a time and there is a place to live lives that are similar to that of the culture in which we live. There are some things that we do have to adapt to, but there are a lot of things that we need to live differently than the world around us. We need to live as strangers and aliens. Now, where we lived in Iowa before we moved here, there was a large percentage of strangers and aliens that lived around us. No, not the green guys that come down in spaceships. I'm talking about those that come from different cultures. We had a large Hispanic population in our area of Iowa. And here's what I know. You knew who they were. They dressed differently. They did their cars differently. They did family differently. They talked differently. You could go into the store at any given time and hear a conversation in Spanish. It didn't matter. Any time the store was open, you'd go into the store and you'd hear conversations in Spanish. You'd go around town. And you know, the places where I didn't see them a lot was, well, that's another story. But there were places where you didn't see them a lot and you didn't hear a lot of the conversation. You could tell. You could see them and you knew. You could hear them and you knew. They lived differently. They painted their houses different colors. They were different. They were strangers. They were aliens. They were different from us. We as followers of Christ, we're supposed to be different. Now, I'm not going to say that our language should always be different the way theirs were, where we're speaking so other people can't understand us, but our language should be better. You shouldn't have to apologize for the things that you say. Your language should be something that's safe for other people to listen to. We don't need to go paint our houses different colors, but our lives should be lived in such a way that it paints how people view us differently. We're called to be strangers and aliens. The entertainment choices that we make should be different. You know, you should be able to go into the office and they start talking about some shows with some questionable morals and some questionable things that they're talking about, and you should say, I just don't know. That's just not what I choose for entertainment. We should be living life differently, and by all means, we should be living life intentionally. You see, here's one of the things that I know. You never grow closer to God on accident. You never live a more godly life on accident. When was the last time that you just gave up caring about your spouse and your marriage got better? When was the last time you had a relationship with somebody and you just kind of let it go and all of a sudden you found that it was better? That doesn't happen. It doesn't happen with our relationship with God either. We have to be intentional about how we live and how we nurture and develop this relationship. And we're supposed to be living as strangers and aliens in this world. While I might dress in many similar ways to the world around me, there are some things that I'm not going to do. Clothes that I just won't wear because it's not appropriate. There are conversations that I won't be a part of because they're not appropriate. I'm living differently and I'm living intentionally. And I think that the greatest example of living as strangers and aliens comes from the book of Daniel. And here's the message. It's that we should be living differently in such a way that the only thing the world has against us is the name of our Savior. Peter says, live as strangers and aliens, keeping your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of His visitation. And that day of visitation isn't necessarily looking forward to the second coming. It may simply be the day when they all of a sudden realize that God is real and they've been wrong. When all of a sudden they say, whoa, something is taking place in your life and I don't know how to deal with it. Something is falling apart in my life and I don't know how to deal with it. But all of a sudden I see you dealing with things much differently. And Daniel chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, this is what we read about Daniel. Daniel, who as a teenage boy was taken captive to Babylon. And if we understand history correctly, he was probably castrated and made a eunuch in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar. And living in a society where the greatest thing you could do was to have children, your only real hope for the future was the children, to be made a eunuch was the lowest of degradations by another nation. And not only that, if you were an Israelite, it meant you couldn't worship God the way everybody else could, because they were excluded from the temple. They were excluded from temple worship. I know the temple wasn't there because Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it. Actually, when Daniel first went to Babylon, the temple still stood for probably 15 plus more years before it was finally destroyed. But Daniel couldn't worship there anymore. That was taken away from him. He served Nebuchadnezzar. He served three or four more kings, and now he's serving a new kingdom, and he's serving Darius, the king of the Medes and the Persians. And in Daniel chapter 6, we read this. It says, "Then Daniel began to distinguish himself among the commissioners and the satraps, because I told you, you need to follow along, because I'm not perfect. I'm just proving it now. I'm going to start over. "Then Daniel began to distinguish himself among the commissioners and the satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to the government affairs. But they could find no grounds of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, 'We do not find any ground of accusation against Daniel unless we find it against him in with regard to the law of his God.'" What would it look like if you went about living life intentionally indifferent in this world around us? Here's what I think it would look like. Daniel. I think we would look like Daniel. I think people would look at us and they would say, "Man, this guy keeps his nose clean. Every time the boss comes around, he's busy working. He's never just appearing to work. Every time he does something, he does it to the best of his ability. And it's almost always right. You know, anytime somebody thinks something is wrong, they don't look at him first. They don't look at her first." And here's what we see. Daniel, in doing this, Daniel was not offensive. If Daniel would have been offensive 70 years before this, or somewhere in that 70 years, somebody would have gotten tired of Daniel and we would hear no more of Daniel. But we read about Daniel's life from the time he was taken captive until this point in his life. We read about Daniel, and Daniel is consistently at the top of his class. Daniel is consistently the one who is being promoted to the highest places of governmental service. In a time when many times those who are high in governmental service would be removed, killed, in other words, when the new king came to rule. Because, well, he might still have some ties to the old king. Especially in a time like when Darius comes in and Cyrus takes, and they conquer, the Medes and the Persians conquer, those high-level officials were generally removed and gotten rid of. But Daniel continues to rise to the top, in part because he was not offensive. He lived life for God. He showed people God, but he wasn't offensive about it. But not only was he not offensive, he was productive. Daniel was a good worker who made right decisions, who blessed the king who was in charge. He didn't always agree with the king, but he was productive and he was loyal. He was loyal to the king. Whoever was reigning, Daniel has his best interests in mind. And so he sought to be productive and loyal to the king. But you know what really set Daniel apart? Was the fact that he was obedient to God first. You see, these men, they looked at Daniel and they said, there is only one thing we can find against him. There is only one area where we might have any chance of discrediting Daniel, and that is to the laws of his God. And Peter says that we're to live as strangers and aliens. We are the people of God, and we are to live lives in such a way that if people have anything against us, when they slander us as evildoers, that they may, because of your good deeds, glorify God. That the only thing they should have against us is the fact that we worship the God who created the universe, the God who sets everything into position, the God who takes care of everything, the God who loves and is merciful to us when we were without mercy, the God who has called us to be His people when once we were not a people, the God who has called us to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, the God who gave His Son to pay the price for our sins on the cross of Calvary. If this world has anything against us, it should be that we are followers of Christ and nothing else. And we are to be different. You see, we're called to live this way in this world around us so that we can proclaim the excellencies of the God who loves us. So that in some ways we can take the blessings that God gives to His people and we can share them with the world that is lost and dying. You see, we're called to love where we are. And I don't know where you are. But here's what I know. Where you are and where I am are not the same place. And here's what I know. You have places, you have opportunities where you are to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ that I will never be given. In your neighborhood, in your apartment complex, in your place of work, you will have the opportunity to live for God and to be the people of God in places where I will never get that opportunity. You have the ability to live life where you are in such a way that you can begin to impact those people around you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you have doors that will open for you that will never open for me. And in fact, you probably have some advantages that I will never have, because people look at me and when they find out what I do, they say, well, that's just your job. You're supposed to live differently. You're supposed to talk to me about Jesus. You're supposed to be God's right-hand man. And suddenly it's just assumed. And nothing is taken in. You know, they become like a colander. You know, you put water in it, and what happens? It just comes out. Because they know that I'm a preacher. But you, where you live, where you are, you have the opportunity to connect with people as a fellow employee, as a good neighbor, as a trusted friend. And we're all called. You see, when you read this passage of Scripture and you read the you should read it. We should have the Texas version that says y'all. But y'all are a chosen race and a holy priesthood, a people of God's own possession, so that y'all may proclaim the excellencies. You see, we lose this in English because we have one word that says you singular and you plural. You. But the Greek says plural. The Greek says the group of you. The group of you. The group of you. We all are a chosen race and a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that we may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. For we once were not a people, but now we are the people of God. We once had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. Beloved, I urge all of you, as aliens and strangers, to abstain from the fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep all of your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the things that they slander all of us as evildoers, they may, because of our good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of His visitation. You see, we all are called to this together. But we are all called to do this individually where we live. You see, we are called to love where we are. To love where we are. And I remind you that if you need some practical ways to do this, I've still got a few more of these cards. If you didn't get one last week and you want one, you pick one up. It's just got the Aaronic blessing from Numbers chapter 6. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace." And you can walk through your neighborhood and you can just pray this over your neighbors. You can take this to work and you can just pray this over your coworkers. You don't have to get weird about it and say it out loud and hold the card up. You can just, it's small enough it'll fit in your hand, and if you need to glance at it and read it, you don't even have to vocalize this out loud. God hears our prayers in our minds. You can just begin to pray this over people. And you can begin to love them where they are. And we're going to look a little bit more at what that looks like over the next few weeks. But we are called to be the people of God. And so this morning, I just want to ask you how you're doing. How are you doing at being the people of God, living this way that Peter calls us to live? Because here's what I want you to know. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your job is to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a priest of God. And as a job and as a title, this means that we have a way of life that's different. We are called to live above the world around us for His grace. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, won't you come as we stand together and sing our hymn of invitation, "Before the Throne of God Above." If you need to make a commitment, we'd love to visit with you about that this morning. If you just need somebody to pray for you, we'd love to figure out ways to do that as well. Won't you come as we stand together?